God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, I believe the Lord has a word for you this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open them. I don't care where you open them, just open them. It's all good. It's all good. Amen. Well, I don't want to be that cliche preacher today, but I'm going to be, I guess. The year is ending. No? It's pretty close, huh? It's the end of the year. And I believe that the word for today is that, well, I'll just say what the Holy Spirit put in my heart late last week, is that the end is only the opportunity for a new beginning. Amen? So, like we said this morning, if you had a cruddy year or you had some things not go so well, guess what? It's an opportunity for a new beginning. It's an opportunity for you to do something else. It's an opportunity for you to get somewhere where maybe you didn't think you were going to be, but you can be. Amen? And so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to turn our Bibles to the book of Philippians. When you get there, I want you to say amen. Even if you have a phone Bible, say amen. I'm going to read from the book of Philippians. I'm going to read chapter 3. I'm going to read a few scriptures here, starting with verse 1. It says here in verse 1 in chapter 3, Philippians says, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters," say, I'm a brother and sister. Amen. "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith." Verse 2 says, "Watch out for these dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say they must be circumcised to be saved." And verse 3 says, "For we who worship by Spirit of God," who worships by Spirit of God? We do. Say, I do. "For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised." Amen. "We rely on what Christ has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort." Verse 4 says, "Though I could have confidence in my own efforts, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have more," Paul says here. But in verse 5, it says, "I'm circumcised by 8 years old. I'm pure blood citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one." This is Paul speaking. And if we know the history of Paul, he's an important person. He did a lot for the brethren, for the brothers and sisters of Christ. He did a lot. And he says here, if anybody can say in confidence in myself, then I do. It says in verse 5 that he was circumcised since 8 years old. He was pure blood citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a real Hebrew if there ever was one. "I was a member of the Pharisees who demand strict obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault." In verse 7 it says, "I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done." You see, what I'm talking about here in these first 7 verses is that he was once one thing, but then became something different, became something new. You might have been once one thing, but now you are something new. Amen? Because of what Christ has done. In verse 8 it says, "Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ." And verse 9 says, "And become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ." It says, "And for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith." How many of you have faith this morning? Amen. It says in verse 10, "Then I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead." How many of us in here want to know Christ? And how many of us in here want to know the power that raised him from the dead? Amen. It says then here, it says, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. So I'm going to ask you, how many of you want to suffer with him? Because we might need to suffer with him to know him. It says in verse 11, so one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. And keep going, it says in verse 12, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. And verse 13 says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on the one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. And 14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us, is calling you. In verse 15, it says there, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. In verse 16, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. I read all that scripture to say that Paul here states that he was one way. First he says he was one way, and then he says, "But I changed. I was this, and then that had to come to an end." You see? He was a persecutor of Christians. He was a persecutor of Christ and all those followers. But he realized that Christ was real, and then that life had to end. He realized he was sinning against Christ. He realized he was doing bad things against Christ, and then that had to end. In order for him to become a new person, in order for him to become new and step into the power that Christ had for him. You see, and then the last part it goes through and it says, we can grow, you can grow, I can grow, we can grow, and we can mature as we continue to trust in Christ, but it takes faith. Amen. It takes faith. You can grow and you can mature spiritually as you continue to have faith in Christ. You can learn more. You can draw closer to him. You can obey him. And then the last part that we read to in verse 16 is, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. You can hold on to the progress you've already made, but keep going. Don't stop in the progress you've already made. If you've ever built anything or done anything in your life and you stop in the middle, it's done. And then you can't use it. It's halfway finished. Well, in your faith, brothers and sisters, Paul is telling us not to stop. Keep on keeping on. Keep having faith. Press on toward the goal. It's not that we've reached it, but it's that we're pressing on. Amen? It's not that you're perfect. It's not that I'm perfect. It's not that we're perfect. It's that we continue to strive to be perfect. Not stopping, but continuing. Amen? Our progress is changeable because it depends on your daily walk. You see, it says here, we must hold on to the progress we have already made. But see, we have to understand that our progress is changing every day. It's like that status bar in the internet when you're downloading something, right? How many of us hate that when it stops? Right? Yeah. And you're like, what do you call that? Buffering? 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 See, you know, I could stop and it would be awkward. So let's not stop. Let's keep pressing on towards the goal. It all depends on your daily walk. And what we can look at is our progress. If you look back at your years, you can say this year, you can say 2 years ago, you can say 5 years ago, you can say 10 years, it doesn't matter how many years you want to talk about. But if you look at it, there are times in our lives where we have matured by numerous amount. And there are times where we've regressed. Which means there's times where you go, it's like doing two steps forward, one step back. Three steps forward, two steps back, right? Or you're climbing a ladder and you fall. Or you're trying to do something and something gets in your way. What the Bible's telling us, people, is not stop. Don't stop. pressing forward. No matter what happens to you, no matter what's going on, don't stop. Keep going. There's more to come. There's more to go. There's more for you. Don't think so small to think that God has given you everything that he's ever going to give you. That's ridiculous. God is so infinite, there's way more for you than we even understand. So don't stop. Don't make it an end and say, oh, I've got there. I've done it. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. That's great, but don't stop. There's more for you. That's what I'm trying to say today. The end is only an opportunity for a new beginning, and we haven't reached the end, but you haven't reached the end goal, but we have reached the end of today. And there's more tomorrow. You see? We have reached the end of this second, and there's more to come. We have reached the end of this minute, and there's more after that. There's more after that. Don't you see? God is always providing more. If you turn your Bibles to Romans, as you turn there, Actually, just go ahead and go there. God wants you. God is wanting you to know him like he knows you. And he knows every hair on your head. He wants you to know him like he knows you. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. It says, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting us to understand that to every ending, there is a new beginning. To the end is only the opportunity for a new beginning. You can look at it like this. From faith, keep on having faith. From faith for one thing, don't stop there, because there's a new thing, right? It may end this one thing, but there's more to come. That's what I'm saying. You need to understand there's more. You have to open your blinders. You know, some of us live life with blinders on, and we can only see what we think we see, but there's more out there. What I mean by that is God has more for you than you think you know that you know. God has more for you, in store for you, than you think you know what you know that you think you know. You know? You follow me? You can keep going, because we don't know all that God has in store. He has so much for us. We can only probably fathom just a little bit. But God has so much more for you. And I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 21, and I want to read verse 5, because I want you to understand something is that, well,
I can help you identify this song on your iPhone.
I got this new watch for Christmas. I tell you what, it talks to me. Right? Revelation chapter 21, verse 5 says this, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Look, it says here, I'm making everything new. He's making things new. We don't even know. It's so new, he's making things new. You see, whatever's in your life that you think you know, you don't know it. Because he's making the new things, and you don't even know what he made already. There are a lot of things in the Word that we don't know. We just need to read it, and then we'll know. But see, even when we know, he's already made new things that we don't know. And then we need revelation to figure those new things out. But even after we figure those new things out, he's already made something else new. Behold, he makes all things new. He's making new things right now for you. He's making a new path in your life for you and the things that you're supposed to be doing in his name that you don't even know about. Best we talk to God. best we get connected with God, the way that he wants to be connected with you, so that we know what he has for us. Amen? If we turn to the book of Psalms, I'm going to go through some scriptures here fairly quickly. I'll probably have you out here before, I don't even know. In Psalms chapter 40, verse 3, it says that he has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Now, he makes all things new. We just read in Revelation 21, 5, and it says, look, he has given me a new song to sing, a hymn to praise God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. Put your trust in the Lord. Everything that God puts you through is a new song for you to sing. Because it makes us grow and step forward in our faith, and we can sing a new song unto him, a new praise song unto him. And it's personalized because it's your song. It's your song to him. It's thank you, Jesus, for the money you gave me to pay rent. It's thank you, Jesus, for the food you gave me to stay alive. It's thank you, Jesus. It's praise you, Jesus, for the kids you gave me. It's this and this and this and that and the other thing. It's because it is what God gave to you. The new thing that he gave to you is a new song that you can sing to him. Amen. It's not about this. This is good, and this is nice. This gets us into that. All right. But what I'm talking about is that new song that you can sing to him, for him, because of him, in your life. He gives you a new thing. And so it doesn't matter what you've been going through. Tomorrow's a new day. Today's a new day. It's not even over with yet. And he has made new things for you today. When we can sing a new song for that. Amen? When you put your trust in the Lord, he reveals these new things to you, and we can sing a new song unto him. In the book of Ezekiel, say amen when you get to Ezekiel. I have it written down here. So, Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. Says that, and I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart. Now, when I read this, I can go back to what I read in Philippians about Paul. He had a stony, stubborn heart and was given a tender, responsive heart. I don't know how many of us have been in this situation where if we look back at our old self before we confessed a life of Christ or a commitment to a life of Christ, we might have had that stony, stubborn heart. And we might struggle with that stony, stubborn heart. It's not that you're perfect, as we read, it's that you're striving to become perfect. I think that's where sometimes we get, the devil tries to trick us, is that you're not perfect. And so you can't be in heaven. No. We're not perfect. But we're striving to be perfect. Amen? We're striving each day to be perfected. We might fall. We might look back at those things and the devil's trying to trick you and talk to you and say, you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough, you're not blah, blah, blah. Put an end to that and start anew. Amen? Put an end to that. Don't let him tell you those lies. Stop it. That's a lie. The Bible tells us we are righteous. We are made right. We were made right. You see, you were made right. You were made righteous. It's not something that we did. You were made righteous. You were given a new spirit. You had your stony spirit, your stubborn spirit taken away. And you now have a tender, loving spirit. That old is gone. The new has come. Amen? Isaiah 43:19 says, "For I'm about to do a new thing. See, I've already begun." He said, but you didn't see it because you weren't looking. He has done a new thing. He's already doing a new thing. If you see, he's already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. What he's telling you here in the Word is this, is that I have made things new for you already. Don't you see it? Look at me. Come find me, and I'll show you what. I'll show you the pathway in the wilderness. I'll show you the river in the dry wasteland. I'll show you what I've given to you new already. Just trust in me and have faith in me. And when you have faith in him, it's new every day. It renews and renews and renews, and it's bigger and it's bigger and it's bigger from glory to glory to glory. Amen. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Chapter 4, we'll start in verse 22. I'm going to get into some deep stuff here. It says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception." Verse 23 says, Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. See, put an end to the former way of life. Put an end to the former way of life. Put an end. End it. And when there's an end, there's a new beginning. You see? Put an end to the former way of life, and you'll have a new beginning in a renewed spirit and a renewed thought and renewed attitude. And it says, verse 24, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous. So I see that, and I think that God has given me some new clothes, right? And says, here, put this on. It's brand new for you. Take off the crud and put this on, right? It's that prodigal son coming home. Here, he's got nothing on, but here, put on the new robe. Put on the new clothes, right? For you have been made new again. Amen? Put an end to that and being renewed now. In Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65, this is an interesting scripture to me when I read it. And hopefully it speaks to you. It says in 65, verse 17, it says, "Look, I'm creating new heavens and new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore." What that tells me is that, look, I'm creating something new in you, and we don't even have to worry about what was back there. All right? You're so new, people won't even remember what's going on. People won't even know what's going on unless you remind them. Amen? You're so new. There's so much new in you. There's so much new that you have to step into. People won't even know, won't even want to know, won't even think about the old way anymore unless you remind them about it. Oh, this is how I used to be. This is how, blah, blah, blah. This is a good testimony. But understand that you need to make sure you're walking in what you have now. And what you have now is that renewed spirit, that new beginning in him. In that old way, it don't matter no more. It's not you. Amen? 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "This means, then, that anyone belongs to Christ has become a new person." Amen. Praise God for that. That should be a song, a good song, a new song that you could sing every day. Amen? That this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Each and every day, you have been created to be a new person. Each and every day. That's a new song you can sing every day. I am no longer the way that I used to be. I am now renewed. I now have a new life. That's a new song that you can sing every single day, and it will never get old. It's like that song on the radio, your favorite song, you can sing it over and over again. Because you love that song. Well, I love this song. I'm saved. I'm changed. I'm new. I don't have to be the old, jerk Mitch anymore. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Your old life is gone and your new life has begun. An end to the old, to step into the new. Amen? Lamentations. There's a book in the Bible called Lamentations, in case you didn't know. Chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, I'm going to read two verses. It's 22 and 23. It says this: the faithful love of the Lord never ends. The faithful love of the Lord has for you never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Amen. That tells me right there that every morning, every time I go to bed, there's an end of whatever happened that day. And every time I wake up, it's a new beginning. Amen? And it doesn't matter if I wasn't perfect yesterday, but that I strive to be perfect today. Amen? And it's not necessary that I'm perfect today, but that I'm striving to be perfect tomorrow. And that we're striving to put an end to the old and striving to be perfected today. Striving for that perfection today, to be like Christ today, to show the love of Christ today. And if it didn't happen for you, that's great. That's fine. But tomorrow, let's strive to be more perfect tomorrow. And that's what we're talking about. That there's an end to today, and it begins tomorrow. If you didn't get it today, then get it tomorrow. If you didn't get it to say something today, then don't let it slip and say it tomorrow. If you didn't get to forgive somebody today, then if you have a chance tomorrow, then forgive them tomorrow. Don't let it go by. If you have a chance to say, I love you, don't. If you didn't get it today, it's okay. We're not perfect. But that tomorrow we strive to be perfect. Do you understand? Today it can end only to give you more things tomorrow. More opportunity tomorrow. I'm not saying that you can do whatever you want today. Don't get me wrong. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card, sin-free card. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that today we strive to be perfect, and if we didn't get there, then it's okay. Tomorrow we can strive again. Tomorrow we can strive again. Monday we can strive again. Tuesday we can strive again. We can try each and every day to be better, to be new. Amen? The old woman, the old ways, the old things that are unrighteous, unholy, ungodly need to come to an end. That's all the Word tells us all the time. End it. Because there's more. When that ends, there's more in the blessings. Amen? The end of one thing brings revelation, and it also brings us into a new beginning. I heard somebody tell me one time, and I'm sure you've heard it, that you learn from your experiences, yeah? Yeah? Anybody heard that before? Well, guess what? That experience ended so that you could have a new beginning. Yeah? You're not going through that same experience all the time unless you keep repeating the same experience all the time. Well, you go through it to learn from it so you don't do it again. Right? That's a new thing. the end stopped. And there's a new thing. You see? You don't have to go in circles anymore. It's a new thing that we've learned. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't need to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. That's a new thing. Because now you can put your time and energy in something else. Because you're not doing that anymore. Right? When I first stopped doing stuff, whatever you want to say, I probably did it. I had a lot more time on my hands to do other things that I probably should have been doing before. Reading the Word, praying, loving on people, doing things that I've never done before, but I put an end to that way of life, and I started anew. Now, the devil wanted to remind me about those things, and I'm sure we've all been in that situation where the devil likes to remind us, oh, hey, there's a nice party over there. There's some people you used to hang out over there with. Might be a good time. Why don't you do it? You got time. Well, no, it's okay. It's all it takes. No, it's okay. I'm good. I'm good where I'm at, right? I don't have to do those old things anymore because you've been made anew. Because I've been made anew. I'm a new person. I'm walking in a new type of lifestyle. I'm walking in a new step of faith where every day is new. And it's renewed every day. Why? God has something for you. You just have to have the faith to step into that. It's a faith. Faith to faith. Faith to move to Douglas. Faith to start something new. Right? Faith to step into what's going on. And you know what? And if I didn't get it right and I stepped into something that wasn't right, it's okay. I get out of it. And I end it. And I start something new. You see? It's real simple. We make it real hard, though. But it's real simple. I'm going to do something new, and I think that God is, and I believe that God has put me into something new, and I step forward in that, and let's say it doesn't work out. Okay, I heard wrong. It doesn't mean I'm unrighteous. It doesn't mean I'm unholy. It just means I did something I probably shouldn't have done. Well, get out of it. Start something new. It's real simple. It's real simple, people. God loves you so much that he gave his only son so that you can make mistakes, but that you can learn from them and become anew each day. Amen? Now, do we want to make mistakes? No. Come on. But we do. Let's be real. We do. Well, maybe you don't. But I do. Just ask my wife. I have a list of things that I read through the Bible and kind of just follow me. Follow me. Okay? In the beginning, the sun was created. Amen? If we read in Genesis about the new world, in the end, there's not going to be a need for a sun. Right? So it has to come to an end. Right? And then there's a new. Yes? In the garden, Satan was victorious in the garden, but Jesus came and ended that. You see? Now Satan is defeated and you are victorious. You see, there was an end to a new beginning. In the garden, sin enters the human race, but on the day on the cross, sin was banished forever. Amen. And now you have power over that. Amen? See, that's a new thing. Step into that new thing. You have power over sin. Amen? In the garden and after the garden, people ran and hid from God. But with Jesus, That came to an end. People were invited to live with God forever. Forever. Before Jesus, people were cursed. And after Jesus, the curse was removed to make way for anew. Before Jesus, there were tears shed for sorrow, for sin. But after Jesus, there was no need. Because there was no more sin. That means no more tears and no more sorrow, no more shame. The time for tears and shame ended to make way for anew. Amen? I'm just pointing out things that were in the Bible that had to end in order to have the new covenant, in order to have the new things happen, and the new blessings that come in your life, and the new things that you need to step into. We read the Bible as, oh, yes, well, then read it and listen to it. Before Jesus, paradise was lost. With Jesus, it ended and paradise was regained. I'm just pointing out things that ended and then things that started. Before people were doomed to death. But with Jesus, death is defeated. You and I, as believers, now live forever in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. We went through this whole list of how there were things. But in order for the things to come, they had to end. So, I believe that we limit new things, that we put a limit on the new things God can do in our lives because we think too small. Well, God can't do that. Yes, He can. What you have, what you've experienced, what we see occurring in our lives is limited by our faith. I'm going to say that again. What you see, what you have, what's occurring in your life is limited by your faith. And we can go through a whole bunch of different scriptures where things should have happened, but Jesus said, ye have little faith. Well, why didn't this happen, Jesus? Ye have little faith. Well, why didn't this happen, Jesus? You have too little faith. Well, let us ask those things about your life. And those questions you're asking Jesus, why didn't this happen? Well, ye have little faith. Now, I'm not going to call you out and say that you don't have faith, but you need to look at yourself. It's a time to look in the mirror and say, hey, do I really have faith for that? Because if not, Jesus might be saying, ye have little faith. Maybe. If we limit our faith, we are limiting God's power in your life. When we do not ask, we do not knock, we do not seek, we do not have. The Bible tells us, ask, right? Knock, seek, and you'll have it, right? Well, if we do not ask, if we do not actually go to the door and knock on the door, then we do not have. We are limited by our faith. We probably say to ourselves sometimes that God can't do that. We don't like to think it, I think, but I think we do. We limit ourselves, I think. I know from my own standpoint, sometimes I think about things that I want. I'm like, nah, that can't happen. I limit myself. I limit the blessings that I'm limiting what God can do for me by saying that. And then I say, I'm a man of faith. And then we tell other people, I have faith. Well, for some things, but not everything. Well, why not? If the Bible tells us to ask and we're going to have it, right? Just ask. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door will be open to you. Seek and you will find. Well, how come you're more not? And then we say, I can't have this, or I don't have this, or I don't have this. Well, you're not asking. And I'm just preaching to myself. I'm going to tell you something. And I find, we talk about it all the time because it's awesome, because Nina and I, we wanted to have land, and we wanted to have a house on land. And I tell you what, we sought after it. We asked for it. We knocked down every door. We looked at every house. We looked at a lot of different properties. And I'm going to tell you what, it finally came. And that's probably the one thing in my life that I actually trusted God that he was going to do for us. And by George, it came. And Bibles, if that can happen in biblical times, it can happen now. And if it happened to me, it can happen to you. It's just a matter of your faith. Where's your faith at? Where's your faith at to stop what you're doing now and step into the new thing? And the new thing you don't even know. So you have to have faith. If you're never going to step out in faith, it's never going to happen to you. Because then you're not asking. And you're not knocking. You're not putting yourself out there for God to work through you or through anybody else to open the door to whatever it is you're having faith about. Sometimes I don't know about you. Sometimes you don't even think. You don't even ask. You don't even pray to God about it. You don't even knock down the doors because you already think that it's too big. That's fine. You'll never have it. I'm realizing this now. I'm understanding that. And for some of you, you're at that next part where you already understand that. And that's awesome. But I'm going to tell you what, don't stop there. There's more for you. And for those of us who are trying to get that understanding that we need to rely on God. We have to ask for those things that we truly, truly, truly want to have. Because if we ask, it's out there. Then if we go forward for it, it will happen. It's not about positive thinking. It's not about positive talk and then you speak it and everything will happen to your life. No, but if it's a desire of your heart and you are seeking God's face and you're talking with God, God will give you the desires of your heart. We have to end all this other crud, though. We have to end this old way of life, this old stuff, this old thing. We have to put it to an end, and we have to start anew. Well, I can't get out of it. I can't get out of it. I can't get out of it. I can't stop it. I can't stop. Sounds to me like you just don't want to. Sounds to me like you're not putting your faith out there to actually do that. That's what that sounds like to me. So are we in a spot where we're striving to get out of the old and get into the new? If you're in that spot, I'm going to ask and encourage you, what are you believing for? In this new year, if this year has been not so good to you, or if you think that it's all coming down on you, what are you believing for? For the new year that's coming. What are you believing for? What are you asking for? What are you standing on? Amen? How many of you here would like God to do something new in your life? How many of us in here would like God to take you to the end of this season and into a new season with infinitely more for you? What about a deeper relationship with Him? What about a renewal of relationships with anybody? How about a family member that you've never talked to that maybe you want to restore relations with? What about deeper faith? What about a miracle in your life? What are we asking for? What are we stepping out on? What are you going forward in? We talked about it before in what are you believing for in this year? What are you asking for in this year? What are we stepping out in? I teach school, yeah, I teach classes and stuff like that. I always ask my students, and some people, when you get real close to me and you start talking about things, I always ask questions. I'm always a question person. Well, and because I want to think about it. And sometimes I won't answer because I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about why this is happening. I'm thinking about what's occurring. I'm thinking about, I want you to think about it. So I'm asking these questions. What are you believing for so you can think about it? In your life, in your marriage, with your kids, with your job, what are you believing for? Because then ask for it. Step out in faith about it. Start acting like it's actually happening. And act and ask and knock and seek God's face about it. All of us said we would like God to do something new in our life. All of us said we would like God to take us from one season and this season and take us into a new season and a season where that has infinitely more for you. We all said yes. Then it's only proper to tell you that you have to step out in faith. Step out, step up, live by faith, and make a change. I don't know, I said that right there, and I was reminded of that Michael Jackson song, Make a Change. I'd start singing it, but I don't think you'd like me to. No. In the book of James, let's go in your Bibles to James. Are you with me, church? Are you following with me? Ask, knock, seek his face. In James chapter 4, I'm going to read two verses. It says in verse 2, it says, you want what you don't have. So you scheme and you kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Now we talk about asking God and stepping out in faith, but I want us to get this scripture down. You know, if we want something to happen, most of the time we make it happen. Well, that just tells us right here. You want what you don't have and you scheme to get it. And then what happens? In most cases, it ends up being bad. Because you schemed to get it. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted something and I took it, and then it broke. And the scripture reminds me of that. I wanted it so bad that I took it from somebody, and then it broke. I couldn't have it. I was so mad. I must have been in that situation before. I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but I mean, I'm sure. You know, you wanted it so bad, you schemed to get it, and then it ended up pooping out on you. Right? You know? I remember in college, I wanted something so bad, I almost went to jail for it. Well, it's one of those things. You want what you don't have, so you scheme to get it. You're jealous of what others have, so you scheme to try and get it. But you can't get it. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask God, you ask from the wrong reasons. When the Bible tells you to ask, when the Bible tells you to knock and seek, it means for the right reasons, with the right heart. You know, what are you asking for? And why are you asking for it? What's the reason behind it? Amen? Not asking or asking for the wrong things or asking for the wrong reasons. Do you talk to God at all? When you do, what do you talk about? Do you ask only to satisfy your desires? Do you seek God's approval for what you already plan to do? You know you're going to do this, so you're like, God, just make it right. Make it right. Make it happen. Even though you know and you're in deep down that it's probably not going to happen. It's not the right thing to do. But you're asking God, make it right. Make it okay. Let me take this toy because I want it. Because I want to have it. And then it breaks. Your prayers, people, the Bible tells us your prayers become more powerful when you allow God to change your desires. When you allow God to change your desires so that they perfectly align with Him. I'm going to take you to the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice." That's your lives, right? Let your lives be a holy and living sacrifice. "The kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him." Verse 2 says, "Then don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for your life, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I find that funny in the first part of that second verse. It says, "Then you will learn to know," which means you're going to learn to know God's will for your life. It's not that you're going to automatically, boom, and I know everything. Yes! It's that you're going to learn to know God's will. That tells me that you might get an F on some papers. That means that you might get a C on some papers. It means you might fail a test here or there. But you're going to learn what God's perfect and pleasing will is for your life. You see what I mean? I never caught that until I read it a week ago. And it was revealed to me that it's not automatically given to you to know God's will. But it's that we learn what God's will is. Through what? Trial by fire. We'll learn. Because what's going to happen is that we're going to change our thoughts, right? We're going to change our ways. We're going to change our thinking. We're going to stop. We're going to make an end to this stinking thinking. We're going to make an end to this other way of life. And we're going to choose to walk here. And on this walk, we're going to learn that, I used to think this way. Now I'm going to think this way. And whoa, what a difference, right? And whoa, people really don't like me. And whoa, doing the right thing sometimes to the world is the worst thing in the world. Right? Oh no, God, why are you doing this to me? I'm not doing it to you. I'm walking you through it so you learn what my perfect will is for your life. You see, he's putting you through it. It's something that happens so that we learn to know God's will for your life. So, in all of our experiences, what have you learned? In all the things that you've gone through in your life, what have you learned? If you've learned nothing, you're probably going in circles. I believe I was that way until recently, the past few years, I was just going in circles. The same thing over and over again. Why? Not learning. Maybe because I wasn't asking the right questions in prayer. And I wasn't being revealed the right things. And so I thought I was on the right path. As the Bible says, there is a way that man thinks is right, but it isn't. So the only way to know what is right is to get on the path that God is on. And yeah, you're going to fall sometimes, but guess what? That end leads to a new beginning. If you fall, it's just the end of your fall. Only to get back up. If you're going through something in your life, it's going to end. Only so that we can learn God's will. Only so that we can learn what's at the end of it. Only so we can learn and better perfect us on the inside. See, sometimes I think I forget that I have to work out my own salvation. The Bible says that each person has to work out their own salvation. It's not mine and Nina's. It's not mine and Nina's and my kids. It's mine. I have to work it out. I have to learn. I have to do this. And I have to do that because it's about me learning about how I'm supposed to live. What I mean by that is that it's about how you are walking through this life, either doing God's will for your life or not doing God's will for your life. And we have to learn what God's will is for your life. And the only way we can do that is to follow the Word of God. There's a path that seems right, right? There's a path that seems right, but there's only one true path that is right. So we have to end going around in circles and start anew. You have to end the stinking thinking about what's going on in your life and start new thinking. You have to end the sin that's happening in your life and walk anew. That's deep, because now you have to think about it. And sometimes, you know, you just don't want to think. You just want to sit there and, you know. But if you're in control of your own salvation, it means you have to make choices. But you need to know what's the best choices to make. I'm encouraging you this morning. End what is not of God in your life and begin anew. The Bible tells us that the mercies and the grace of God renews each morning. Each morning. If we miss it today, His mercies renew tomorrow. It comes to an end. But like we said in the beginning, it's the striving in your life that needs to happen. The striving to be like Christ needs to happen. The striving to be the way Christ would be in a situation is what needs to happen. The ending of what is here and the beginning of anew. Amen? I believe that today's word is a word that all of us need to hear. that, yes, the year is coming to an end, and we can do this cliche New Year's stuff and blah, 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 and there's a new year coming. Yay, great, all right, new beginnings, New Year's resolutions, all this stuff. But the fact of the matter is this. You have a salvation to work out in your life. And you need to work that out. The best way you can work that out is to understand what God is giving to you here. That God is ending something to create something new. And that new is something better. Something you don't even know about. But first you have to end this to get the new. You see. If you have a car, well, I don't know. Some of you could probably buy 20 cars. That's great. But if I want a new car, I got to end the one I have in order to get a new. If I want a new house, I got to end the one I have and get a new one. Right? You have to end this way of life over here in order to get the better way of life over here. Amen? That's what it's about. The ending makes way for the new beginning. The last scripture then today comes from the book of Ephesians. It comes from the book of Ephesians in chapter 3. This scripture right here in chapter 3, and I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. Oh, it's already up there? Okay. Verse 20. Now all glory to God who is able. Right? Let's read it together. Now all glory to God who is able through all his mighty power and work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or. There is so much out there for you new in the will of God for your life. There's so much out there. So many things that you don't even know about. So much out there, infinitely more than you could even ask or think about that God has for you. And it's within his will to give it to you. It's within his blessings and within his power to give it all to you. I encourage you all to question your faith in so you become deeper in your faith. So that we can walk. So you can walk with this power. So you can walk with this infinitely more blessings than you can even ask or think. Infinitely more than you can even ask and you can even think about. So much that you don't even know where it's coming from. It's just seeping into your life from this crack and this crack and this crack. It's just coming in. So much more. But it starts with your faith. Faith to end this over here and faith to step out in a new over here. Faith to end this life of whatever it is, if it's lying, cheating, stealing, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, lack of faith, to end that and step into the life of faith. The life of big faith. The life of faith to walk on water. Type of faith. Amen? That Peter walk on water type of faith. Amen. The Lazarus type of faith to calm out and get up, rise, and walk. Yes. The type of faith that speaks to a blind man and says, you will see in Jesus' name. Amen. The kind of faith that walks up to that lame person and says, you're going to walk. Get up. Get your blanket and get up and walk. That kind of faith, people. You haven't seen it because you haven't asked. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you believe not. The church, us, this family, this brethren we have, we need to step it up in our faith and ask and seek and find. Because the miracles are there. Right? The life-giving Spirit of Christ is there. The life breath of God to raise him from the dead is there. The life to lay hands on somebody and see them healed is there. The power is there. We have not because we ask not. Let's ask. Let's start asking. I encourage you to start asking. Start stepping out. Start being and start living that faith that we so desperately want. Let's just do it. Right? Let's just do it. I saw a shirt a long time ago, and it's probably a meme or whatever you want to call it on the internet. Right? It's Yoda, picture of Yoda. I'm into Star Wars. Right? It's a picture of Yoda. It says, there is no try. There's only do. Just do it. Live by faith. Right? It says in the Word that the believers, the righteous believers, we live by faith and not by sight. How many of us are believers in here? How many of us believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross? How many of us believe that he rose from the dead? How many of us believe he shed his blood for your sins to cover us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to bring us into glory? How many of us believe that? That means we are believers in Christ and we walk by faith and not by sight. Say, I walk by faith. Say it, I walk by faith. The more you proclaim it, the more you have it. See, ask and you shall receive it. Speak it out and it will happen. I walk by faith. That means that you trust in God for everything that you need in your life. Whether it be restoration, whether you need something renewed, you walk by faith. You ask and you will receive. You step out in that and you will. It happens. By faith, not by sight, by faith. You need healing in your life, ask and you shall receive. Walk in it. Walk in your healing. Walk in it. Be it. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. You need renewed thinking? Then ask for it. And then walk in it. What does walking in it mean? It means act like it. That's what it means. Walk by faith. That means act like you have some faith. That's what that means. When Jesus told the disciples, "Ye have little faith," what they're saying is that you're not acting like you're my disciple. You're acting like everybody else in the world. Ye have little faith. My disciples have big faith. Faith like me. Faith that can walk on water. Faith that can raise the dead. Faith that can heal the sick and heal the blind. Faith that can cast out demons. Amen? That's you. That's you. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. You can walk by faith. You can. You can. The Bible says you can. The Word of God says you can. If you say you can't, you're limiting God's power in your life. If you say you're not good enough, you're limiting God's power in your life. If you say you're too old, you're limiting God's power in your life. If you're saying you're too young, you're limiting God's power in your life. Let's not put limits on God. I encourage you, step out in faith this day. Make this the day that you renew. That you end the old season and you step into the new season. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Now, I'm gonna do something. I'd like us to just come across the aisle or whatever and grab a hold of the hand of the person sitting next to you or whatever, close to you. Just grab somebody's hand. Just grab somebody's hand. What we're going to do, I want you to close your eyes, and I want us to just pray together. I want us to be together. I want us to be a family together, to understand that we, as the brethren of Christ, have the faith. We say, I will walk by faith. Say, I will walk by faith. This day, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, for this time we get to spend together to learn your word and to walk in your word and to hear your word and to get that word deep down in our soul, to grow our roots down deep. Thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Jesus, for what you do in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for getting out of the old season, getting us out of that season and into a new season, amen? Getting us out of the old life and into the new. To make it an end. I want us right now to make a declaration over our own lives and say, the old season is over. And we're stepping into a new season. Say, I step into my new season by faith, with power, with love. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to take a second here. And I want you to pray for the person that's next to you that you're holding on to. Pray for power and love in their life. By faith, we pray, Father, for the person that's sitting next to us, the person that we're holding on to, for the power to flow through their body, to end what is not of you and to begin what is you. Thank you, Jesus, for your power that ends the stinking thinking and that brings in the new way, the new man, the faith-filled life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can, that I can, walk out by faith, not by sight. I want us all to thank Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Give him a shout. Give him a clap. Give him a praise. His is renewed all day. It's not me. It's him. It's not you. It's him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Power. Love. Sound mind. Self-control. Amen. 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 God bless you all. In this new, this ending of the old and the into the new, God bless you. Walk in power, walk in faith. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Amen. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Love you. Amen. Amen. God is good all the time.